and welcome to the Bible Made Easy podcast. I'm your host, Kelly, and I'm here to help you understand what you just read in the Bible. Hello, everyone. I'm so glad you're on this journey with me. If you are new, welcome. If you have any questions on how the podcast is laid out, you can listen to my introduction episode. And everyone is welcome to go to my website, bmepodcast.com, to drop me a note, ask any questions, or just get up to date on the podcast with the resources I have there, including links to all of my pop cultural references. This is week 24, which would be 1 Kings chapters 5 through 9 and 2 Chronicles chapters 2 through 8, plus a few Psalms and some Proverbs. Timeline is 967 BC to 950 BC, approximately 17 years. So let's jump in and start with 1 Kings chapter 5 and 2 Chronicles chapter 2. We meet Hiram, king of Tyre, who heard about Solomon being crowned king after his father David. Of course, to keep peace, and because Hiram actually likes David, Hiram sends a gift. Solomon, in return, sends a thank you card, so to speak, and asks if Hiram will do a trade with him because Solomon needs access to all the wood that Hiram has. And in return, he will send him some money to pay for it. Hiram is like, absolutely. The payment I want is food because, you know, you can't eat gold. And I'm not gonna lie. Food would be nice too. If you guys love me, you can send me tacos, pizza, or sushi. Hint, hint. On top of that, Hiram sends Hiram Abi, a man of great skill, which, what a commendation from a king, to help with the construction. Solomon's like, fantastic, and boom, an alliance continues. And we see that it was quite the labor force and how run it is. I mean, really impressive. I don't know if any of you have been to a construction job site zone before, but it can be utter chaos. So to know that this was so well run, I'm impressed. Then in 1 Kings chapter 6 through 7 and 2 Chronicles 3 and 4, if you want to go through the history of exactly when the temple was built, I highly encourage it. If you want an easy answer, it was 957 BC. Also, if you are an engineer type individual, I applaud you. I can usually envision things, but when it comes to measurements, I start to fall asleep. For those of you like me, I have a link on my website. Again, it's bmepodcast.com that you can see. I mean, you can Google your own if you want to, as always, but I like the picture that I picked out. You can also find a YouTube video of what it would look like on the inside of the temple. My only issue with the video was I didn't like how they animated the outside. That's why there's a different picture. But you know me, it happens. Feel free to go there and look at it, or you can obviously Google it yourself to take a look, but it's really interesting, so I highly recommend it. Do keep in mind, though, that Solomon's temple was destroyed later, so there are no artifacts from it to make a true depiction, so much of its artistic style is left up to interpretation. Yeah, just so you know. After all that, we see that Solomon continues the building and completing of his palace along with the temple, and once all of that was done, he takes all the things that David had left to be dedicated to the Lord's temple and put it in there. 1 Kings chapter 8 and 2 Chronicles chapter 5 through 7 verses 1 through 10. The dedication, the ribbon cutting ceremony, if you will, of this temple must have been absolutely incredible. And I really hope we get to see it in heaven. Just the holy respect and honor as the ark is brought in, the following of God's instructions to the exact T, and then to see God fill the place, it makes my heart melt. Then Solomon, thankfully who was super wise, speaks and gives a personal speech about his father and the desire of David to build the temple, but Solomon was the one blessed to actually build it. And then there was a prayer of dedication. At this point, I'm pretty sure if I was there, I'd probably be openly weeping and somebody would be trying to give me a tissue. Then there are prayers, the sacrifices, the praising, followed by a feast. I cannot imagine how utterly, unspeakably awesome that would have been to be there. Like I said, I really hope I get to see it in heaven. Then in 1 Kings 9, 2 Chronicles 7, verses 11 through 22, and then chapter 8. Oh, my friends, with all of that high, we come to a low because, alas, we see some real foreshadowing going on here because God appears to Solomon again and is giving him blessings and how if Solomon will continue to follow him, he will continue to bless him and his family. However, if he doesn't, well, as you know, God's warning does come to pass. I would think after this great high must have felt like a punch in the gut. I also think that it's a great reminder to us that Satan will wait until we are on that high and not being as fastidious as we were to get to the goal, and that's when he likes to strike. And boy, does he ever strike. And when you read further into this chapter, you see just the vast expansion of all that was under Solomon's control, from the people he took as slaves, how he was able to give land to Hiram for his help, and even his queen was given her own palace. In the building of ships, it is so overwhelming, at least to me, I can't even imagine. I don't know about you, but I'm like, all the people that would have to be in charge, and it's a good thing God made him super wise, because yikes. I'd feel slightly overwhelmed by that. That's where we end in that kind of reading, and then we go over to Proverbs. I like chapter 25 of Proverbs, not so much 26. At least nothing in 26 really stood out to me. And Proverbs 25 verse 17 makes me giggle because it says, don't overvisit to a neighbor or they will despise you. And if you're from the South, you know a Southern goodbye takes forever. And if you want to see a great depiction of this, you should go to the YouTube channel. It's a Southern thing. They have great things about the South. They have one about the Southern goodbye, and that is no joke. It's probably a lot like the Midwest goodbye. So I always wonder if those goodbyes cover this not over-visiting with your neighbor. Verse 27, I am someone who is an abstract thinker, and this one hit me because he says it is not honorable to search out matters that are too deep. That is actually really true, at least in my case, because it can cause all sorts of headaches for yourself when you pose it to other people. They just tend to look at you like you lost your ever-loving mind, or your dad stops asking you what you're thinking on long car rides. You know, whichever comes first, or both. That is where this episode ends. If you have any reactions, thoughts, questions, or words you need to throw my way, please do so at my website, bmepodcast.com. I hope you have a most fabulous week, and I'll talk to you in the next episode. Bye.